You know, regardless of what you feel, according to the Word of God, you've already got love, joy, and peace in you. And one of the victories in the Christian life is to walk by what you have inside in Christ and not go by feelings. Stay tuned for Charis Daily. Welcome to Charis Daily. I'm Andrew Womack, and I'm your Bible teacher today. Charis Daily is a program that we do every single day of the week. We have different instructors from our Charis Bible College that teach on things, and we also approach the same subject just from our own personal perspective. This month, we've been talking about a strong foundation, and man, there's a lot when you start talking about the foundation of a Christian life. But for me, it's this teaching on spirit, soul, and body. When I saw this, it just unleashed me. I mean, this was like an explosion that went off on the inside of me. You know, I don't often tell this, but I had this miraculous encounter with the Lord on March the 23rd, 1968, and it lit a fire and it started a passion on the inside of me. But, you know, you can't maintain emotion over years and decades. God doesn't want us to live just by emotion. And so anyway, after the emotion of that wore off, I was in the Word and I was struggling. And I actually had these yellow legal pads that I wrote down nothing but scripture references. I didn't write the whole verse out, but I just would have a reference and I'd put like six references on a line, every line, front and back, three pages of that. And I wrote those out. These were things that, man, I was saying, God, how do these scriptures work? I don't understand this. And I mean, for about 6 months, maybe 9 months, I just pored over those scriptures. And I would, during the day, I'd spend about 10 hours a day just writing out longhand those scriptures. And as I wrote every single word, I would just think about them. God, what does this mean? And I honestly, I was getting a little bit of revelation, but it was like, I was just overwhelmed. And this is right after Jamie and I got married. And so I would, you know, sit at the table and do this all during the day. But then I would go into our closet, and we had just a little one bedroom apartment, and we had a closet that was about the size of this table. And I would go in there and move the shoes out of the way, and I'd close the door so I wouldn't bother Jamie. And I would spend about an hour or two a day praying in tongues and saying, God, what do these verses mean? During the day, I'd write them out, meditate on it, and then I'd spend an hour or two praying. And after, I don't even know, 6 months, 9 months of doing that, it's like a bomb went off on the inside of me, a nuclear blast. And it was when I got this revelation, all of those scriptures I'd been meditating on, it's just like a piece. You know, I had a 1,000-piece puzzle here. And when I saw this truth, it's like all of those pieces of that puzzle just came together and everything began to fit. And did you know that everything I'm teaching today, I saw it. It may be in a not as clear as I see it now, but that was 52 years ago. I saw all of this stuff in 1 week's time. It's just, I began to see and understand things. And I had like a broad outline. I didn't have all of the details. And over the last 52 years, I've been going in and just filling in the details and things. But I'm saying that this is what this did for me. I don't know if that communicates to you, but it transformed my life. And I am confident that this would do the same thing for anybody if you would let it. The Bible says God's no respecter of persons. So if these truths set me free, and here I am 52 years later, just totally still excited about this and sharing these things, it would do the same thing for you if you'd let it. So I encourage you to get this. You can go to charisdailygtn.com and we'll send that to you as a free gift. And this is just a portion. It's a brief summary of an entire teaching I have on this. I have a book on this, CDs, DVDs, a USB, a study guide. And really, everything I teach comes out of this. So I encourage you to please take advantage of it. What I want to focus on today, I've been talking about how it's your spirit that gets born again. And we've talked about how this is why most people can't understand the Word and don't really relate to God, is because they think that God is dealing with them based on their actions, based on their thoughts, and not based on their spirit. But when you make Jesus your Lord, it's your spirit that gets changed. And so you have to change from just relating to God based on this outer personality, and you have to start worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And then I also talked about a lot of things, but I talked specifically about that you're forgiven of all sin, and in the Spirit, that Spirit is born again, and you have had even the sins you haven't committed yet already forgiven. Now, this doesn't mean that you just go out and live in sin, because your spirit has already been sanctified and perfected forever and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Because even though your spirit isn't contaminated by your sin, your body and your soul are, and you're going to have negative things happen if you go out and yield yourself to sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." So if you go out and live in sin, it's not going to change your spirit. And since God's a spirit, He'll still worship, or He'll still fellowship with you when you worship Him, but you will suffer in your body and in your soul. And Satan is going to take advantage of those sins, and he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So anyway, we've talked about all of those things. I want to focus on this out of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And this says, "But the fruit of the Spirit..." Before I read the rest of this, this word Spirit here is capitalized. And so this is referring to the Holy Spirit. But it does say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, "He that is joined unto the Lord is one Spirit." And the Greek word for one there is hes, H-E-I-S. It means a singular one to the exclusion of another. So the reason I say that is to say that when it says that the fruit of the Spirit, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, all of these things. It's not only true of the Holy Spirit, it's true of your born-again spirit, because you've been joined unto the Lord and you are one with Him. So your born-again spirit, this is what you possess. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Some people might think, well, some people have love, some people have joy, some people have long-suffering, some people have temperance. No, this is like the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is all of these nine different things. It's like light. Did you know you can take a prism and you can just take normal sunlight or any light and you put it through that prism, and it'll break out all of the different colors that are in that light. But all of those colors together make up light. All of these different characteristics that it talk about are the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. And what I'm trying to say here is that in the Spirit, you can't go by how you feel, you can't go by what it looks like in the mirror, but if you go by the Word of God, the spiritual mirror, this is what your spirit man is like. In the Spirit, you have love. And this isn't a worldly kind of love. You know, people will say, I saw a gay parade and a little kid that was 5 years old saying, "Love is love," talking about it doesn't matter if it's between two men or two women or whatever. And that's an absolute lie. What the world calls love, this earthly, sensual, devilish thing, people fall in love and fall out of love. It's all based on emotion. That's not God's kind of love. It says over in 1 Corinthians 13, I could literally spend an hour. I've actually spent before a week teaching through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, describing the characteristics of God's kind of love. God's kind of love isn't selfish. It's not emotional. It loves at all times. It bears all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. God's kind of love never fails. And yet I've had people come to me and say, "I just can't bear this any longer. I can't bear this relationship." Well, what you've said is that you aren't walking in God's kind of love, because God's kind of love can bear anything. I've had people come and say, "I just don't have any hope for this marriage anymore. I give up on it." Well, you aren't walking in God's kind of love, because God's kind of love hopes all things. So I could spend more time on this, but when it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, this isn't talking about this emotional, sick type of love. I was in a bowling alley one time, and they were playing this secular music, and I don't remember now what the name of the song was, but it was some kind of supposed to be a love song. But it was a guy talking about that, "I just love you so much that I can't even close my eyes. I can't go to sleep at night. I can't take my eyes off of you." And I just wanted to stick my finger down my throat and throw up. That's not love. That's this emotional lust. God's kind of love. I guarantee you, when Jesus hung on the cross, that was love. And it wasn't because he had goosebumps going up and down his spine, and because he was feeling so much love, he just couldn't close his eyes and look at you. Anyway, I need to move on. But there is a difference between God's kind of love. This is describing in your spirit, you have God's kind of love. This is why when a person comes to me and says, "Would you just please pray that God would pour out his love in my life?" It's a good thing I'm not God, because the spirit of slap wants to come all over me like, "What's wrong with you? In your spirit, you've got God's supernatural love. And are you waiting on an emotion?" That's what most people are saying. "I just don't feel anything." That is so carnal. I'm not saying that we reject feelings. I have feelings. There are times that, man, I get overwhelmed and I cry and I have feelings. And if they come and if they're consistent with the Word of God, I embrace them. I'm not emotionless. But if I have a feeling that doesn't line up with the Word of God, then I get rid of that feeling, or I make it line up with the Word of God. I am not going to be led by feelings. If they come, I'll enjoy them, but you know what? God loves me. He loves me so much right now. He's got my picture in his wallet. He's got an 8x10 of me on his mantle. God is passionate about me. And somebody says, "Do you really feel that?" No, I don't necessarily feel it, but I know that if he loved me enough to die for me, he loves me more than I could ever comprehend. And I don't care whether I feel it or not. That's what I'm going to believe, and that's what I'm going to speak. And as I do that, well, then I enjoy the emotion of God's love in his presence, but I don't wait on it. Emotions don't control my life. So this says that in the Spirit you have love, and if you don't feel love, well, then your feelings are wrong. You need to make them get in line. I've had people before when they came on television with me or something like that, or come up on the stage, they said, "Man, I got butterflies in my stomach." They're talking about they have all these fearful emotions and stuff like that. I don't deny that they exist. I just deny that they're going to control me. And so I tell them, I say, "If you got butterflies, tell them all to get in line and fly in formation." Amen. You don't have to deny that you got butterflies, but refuse to allow those things to dominate you. You go ahead and do what God told you to do, regardless of what you feel like. People say, "I know God loves me, but I don't feel his love." Well, then your feelings are wrong. And we've got to a place to where it doesn't matter what truth is, feelings trump everything else. If I don't feel right about myself, it doesn't matter how illogical that is, you just embrace these feelings. You make a god out of your feelings, and you're going to worship your feelings more than you worship truth. You need to get over that. And I know that most ministers will be more kind and polite and gentle, and you shouldn't be hard on people. But I tell you, sometimes you just need a good swift kick in the rear to realize that you don't need to be worshiping and enshrining your feelings. The truth is, whether you feel it or not, in your born-again spirit, you have love, God's kind of love. You've got joy. And somebody says, "Well, I don't feel joy." Well, in your spirit, you've got joy. Are you going to let your flesh, your soul, be dominated by what you see and feel outside, or are you going to turn inside and look at who you are and operate in what you've got? You know, in Philippians, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Did you know rejoice is a verb? Joy is a noun. For those of you that slept through English class, a noun describes a person, place, or thing. A verb describes an action. So you may not have the feelings of joy, but you do have joy. And so what do? You just rejoice. You act on it whether you feel it or not. And as the Scripture says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. And if you would start acting, doing what a verb does, an action, and if you would start rejoicing, it would draw this joy that's on the inside of you out. It's like you've got this well here, and in this well, you've got all this fruit of the Spirit, and it's inside of you, but you have to draw it out. How do you draw it out? By doing what the Word says. You start rejoicing whether you feel joy or not. The truth is you have joy in your spirit, and rejoicing draws it out. And so you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You have these things. Whether you see them manifest in you or not, in the Spirit, this is what your spirit is like. And your spirit never deviates from that. Your spirit doesn't ever get defeated. Your spirit never is full of rejection. It never has depression. If you are depressed, if you are feeling rejected, if you aren't feeling loved, if you understood what we're talking about, you've solved the problem because your spirit can't be depressed. Your spirit always walks in love. Your spirit always has peace. It always has joy. If you don't have those things, it's because you aren't in the Spirit. You aren't letting who you are in the Spirit dominate. You're going by your feelings. You're looking at something that's happened, somebody who's rejected you, something that didn't work out, and that's what you're focused on. But if you were to focus on who you are in Christ, you always have these things in you. You know, I went to Pritchett, Colorado to pastor a group of people there. We saw a man raised from the dead, and this little church of 10 people asked me to come. And I left a church that had 50 people in it, and that wasn't a lot, but for the first time in our life, Jamie and I were eating on a regular basis, and it looked like we might live and not die. And yet, I just felt like God told me to go to this place and help them. So we left the first security, the first success we've ever had in our ministry, and we moved to Pritchett, Colorado, which if that's not the end of the world, you can see it from there. It's that close. I mean, it was a town of 144 people. And we went to a church that didn't even have a restroom in it, didn't have a roof on, in Colorado, in the winter. Went there on January the 1st. And anyway, I went there and I gave up all of these things to go minister to these people. And there was a lot of people that received me. And we got to where we went from 10 to 100 people in a couple of months in a town of 144. But there were some people that hated me and they started lying and saying I was stealing money from the church, which I didn't even take a salary from the church. And they accused me of stealing money. They accused me of committing adultery. They accused me of getting drunk, doing drugs. They accused me of everything you could imagine. And they started going around and telling people this. And people started believing them, even though I'd done all of these things trying to minister to people. And anyway, I just got really upset and I was going to have a pity party. And I was just waiting on Jamie and my boys to go to bed. We had a basement in this house we were renting, and I was going to go down to the basement and just have a pity party. So I was waiting on Jamie and the boys to go to bed so I wouldn't bother them. And I was sitting at the kitchen table drinking a cup of tea, and I was just waiting to go down there and complain and just give up. And out of just nothing but desperation, I just flopped my Bible open. This is not the best way to do it, but desperate times call for desperate measures. And I just flopped my Bible open to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And I read that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And when I saw that, I said, Lord, I know what You're saying, that in my spirit, I've got love, I've got joy. And I said, but I, in my flesh, I just feel rejected. I was discouraged. And I had already planned on a pity party. I was going to go down to the basement and gripe and complain. I'd already sent out all of my invitations to all of the demons in Baca County, Colorado, had shown up and were waiting on this party to get started. And I said, I know that in my spirit I've got this, but I just feel so bad in my flesh. I said, I feel like griping. I feel like I'd be better if I just vented and let all of this stuff out. And you know, once the Lord speaks to you, He's not going to argue with you. It's like God led me to these verses directly. He spoke to me and says, in your spirit you've got love, joy, and peace. Which are you going to do? You're going to operate in the spirit or you're going to operate in the flesh? And then when I wanted to argue with him, he wouldn't argue. It just got quiet. And so after Jamie and the boys finally got ready to go to bed, I went down to the basement And I mean through gritted teeth. I did not feel like doing it, but I just said, I opened my Bible, put my finger on this verse, and said, I've got love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and I started quoting what I had in my spirit. I started saying that I am going to rejoice in the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I did what David did. He started glorifying God even in the midst of bad situations. And I mean out of, most people would say that you didn't believe it. Well, I didn't feel it. But I did believe that that was true. And I started acting on what the Word said about me instead of what I felt. And did you know, I don't know how long, it was for a few minutes, that I had to just force myself to do that. I didn't feel like doing it. But again, it's just like having a well with all of this life-giving water in it. But you could die of thirst if you can't get it out. And when you start doing what the Word says, when you start speaking about yourself, what you have in the Spirit, it's like sticking a bucket down in that well that started drawing it out. And I mean, after just a few minutes, I started looking past the rejection and the lies that people were saying about me. And I started focusing on what Jesus said about me. And I don't know the exact length of time, but 5 minutes or 10 minutes, I mean, I started having the joy of the Lord come up. I mean, the feelings, the emotion of it. And I started praising God, and I stayed up nearly all night long walking and praising God. And I mean, I had an awesome time. It's one of the best times I've ever had. And it was during one of the worst times, and it was when I just refused to let my feelings rule and dominate me. That was a death blow. Now, I still deal with that, but not to the same degree. It's like I passed a threshold. And once I did it that time, it became much easier the next time. And you know, there was an instance where I was called at 4:15 in the morning and told that my youngest son, Jonathan Peter, was dead. And Jamie and I had to get up and drive into town. And as we were passing the place that is now our property that we own in Woodland Park, as we were driving by, I began to have all of those negative emotions of grief and fear and everything else. And yet I didn't want them. And I knew, because I had done this multiple times, I knew that in my spirit there was still love and joy and peace, even though in my flesh there was grief and there was hurt and pain and all these kind of things. And I just started praising God when I'd heard that my son was dead. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. That means in the Hebrew, if you look that up, it means all times. It means even if you are told that your son is dead. And I just started praising God. And did you know the Scripture says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, abounding therein with thanksgiving as ye have been taught. You abound in faith when you start using thanksgiving. And so even though I felt like crying, I started praising God. And when you do that, you abound in faith with thanksgiving. My faith began to start rising up. And all of a sudden, God brought prophecies back to me and a lot of things happened. And I just all of a sudden knew that my son was going to be raised from the dead. And so after being in a morgue, stripped naked, with a toe tag on in a freezer, and he'd been dead for over 4 hours, he just sat up and started talking. And that's been 24 years ago. And he's alive and well today, works for us, sharp. Got a brilliant mind, no brain damage, no more than he had before. All of those things happened because I started operating in what I had in the Spirit and going by what the Word said about me instead of what I felt. And I don't know if I've gotten it across to you or not, but I'm telling you, very, very, very few people let the Word of God control them. Very few people go by what they have in the Spirit. They are going by what they feel in their flesh. They're going by what they're thinking in their mind, and they consider that to be the real them. I don't deny that I have negative emotions. I don't deny that I think things wrong, that I do things wrong at times. But I do deny that that's the real me. The real me is the part of me that's born again. That's the real me. And, you know, when I stand in front of people And I think something like, well, you're a hypocrite. No, I'm a hypocrite when I act contrary to what the Word says. My real identity is who I am in Christ. And that's me. And I tell you, if you could understand this, if you could get hold of this and see who you are and what you have in Christ, and if that became your identity, and then what you feel and what you see, you don't deny that those things exist, but that is not the real you, and that is not what I'm going to let control me. Any victory I've had in my life is because of these truths that God has taught me, and I've learned how to walk in the Word of God. And if you're born again, you have the exact same Spirit living on the inside of you that I have living on the inside of me. It's not like I got a better Spirit, a bigger Spirit, a stronger Spirit than somebody else. We are identical in the Spirit because we are like Jesus. As Jesus is, so are we in this world, and that's talking about in your spirit. Our spirits are identical to Jesus. Do you think that Jesus would respond to stuff the way you're responding to it? If you'd have to say, oh, no, He wouldn't, well, then you aren't walking in the Spirit. In the Spirit, you have the ability to respond to whatever is going on in your life exactly the way Jesus would, because you have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead living on the inside of you. You have the same power that raised Christ from the dead. It's already there. It's not a matter of you going and getting it. You've already got it. It's a matter of you getting a revelation of what you've already got. And there are things that you need to learn about how you release it. One of the lessons that I've learned is that faith is voice activated. It says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And so you've got to start speaking your faith. You know, it says over in Matthew chapter 6, He was telling us not to take thought for all of these things, where we're going to eat, what we're clothed with, where we're doing these things. And He says, take no thought saying. I think that's Matthew chapter 6, around verse 30, 32, somewhere in there. Take no thought saying. Did you know you can't keep thoughts from coming, but you can keep from taking them. You don't say them. You don't speak forth your fear, your doubt, your hurt, your pain. You speak forth what God's Word says. This is one of the laws. So it's one thing to know that you've got this life on the inside of you. It's another thing to know how to get it out. And one of the ways you bring it out is by the words that you speak, by your actions that you do. And there's just so many things. I've got hundreds of hours on all of that. But this is the little foundation principle of spirit, soul, and body. I promise you, this would change your life. And I'm making it a gift to you. I don't know how to make it any more available. I'm asking you to please go to CharisDailyGTN.com. Give us some information. We'll send this to you. You can also call. We've got people at our phone centers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they'll pray with you. They'll give you these materials, but they'll also pray with you. And I would like to ask some of you to become partners with us, because these things that I'm sharing, they've changed my life. They're changing millions of other people's lives. And there are millions of people that would receive this if we just got the truth to them. And we need finances in order to be able to do that. So again, contact us, all this information on the screen. We'd love to give you this book, but we'd also love for you to partner with us and help us take the gospel farther and deeper than we ever have before. God bless you, and join us again for another Charis Daily.